Okay, so it's our inaugural class, just starting now. We chose Megillas Esther. I don't know who we is. We chose Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, hopefully we'll see how it goes. We'll hopefully do it the whole year. We'll see how far we get. We will definitely not finish the whole thing. Maybe not even the first parak, but we'll go through it slowly. And we have to know like this. To start Megillas Esther clearly, what I'm saying is a basic thing. The idea of the story is that every part that's brought down in the story is to make the nes, the miracle of the story, greater. Clearly, no extra words. Clearly, no extra letters. And every prat, this is brought down by the Vilna Gaon, by the Sfasemes, they say it from the Nesivis. Every part of this story that's brought down, there's a reason for it. That means we could have had other parts of the story, and we could have taken out parts of the story. But every part of this is to make the story greater.
Is that any different than any other part of the
story? No, good point. But here they stress it by the Megillah sets because it seems more like a story, so you can figure the details are just irrelevant. No, every detail is also to make the story a greater miracle. Not by a greater miracle. It's a miracle, Shabbat. Mordechai Vasta, Alpinavur. And we'll see. And now, also what they say is, there's a pasuk we say in davening, La'oise gedolus levada. Now, normally the phrase La'oise gedolus levada means that God does great things by himself. He's the only one capable of doing great things. La'oise gedolus levada, he's capable of great things. Gilam Chastav. But they want to say, based on the story, Rav Shmuel Uzida says this, that's a Kadman, Beis Yosef time. He said, La'oisek del Savada doesn't mean what we think it means, that Hashem is the only one capable of such a thing. No. What it means is that La'oisek del Savada, he does miracles, Levada, only he knows about it. We don't know about it. That means part of the story that occurs, we're unaware of. The famous thing I always like to say from Yitzchak Balazhin is that if a guy was in World War II, and he's walking down the street, he decides he's making a right turn to go get some groceries, and then he comes home that night, he doesn't realize that if he'd taken a left turn, there was a Nazi guards waiting for him.
He bent down for a quarter on the street.
He doesn't even know. He doesn't even realize. So a lot of the miracles that occur on a daily event in our lives, we're unaware of. Certainly in the story of the day of Nes Purim. So what we're trying to do here is what they want to bring out. What we're trying to do is that within each prat of this story, every single word, every single detail, which we'll do one tonight, is trying to make the Nes a greater Nes, a greater miracle for us to appreciate the story. So we start with the opening words. I don't sing. This is the days of Achashverosh. He's the Achashverosh that ruled from Hoidu Ad Kush. Now, the Gemara, just to know, yeah, easy one. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud, that anytime a story begins, first it says anytime a story begins with the word Vayehi, it's bad. Then the Gemara changed it to Vayehi Bimei. So when you say Vayehi Bimei as an opening phrase, the Gemara already tells us this is Nishta Gutazach. This is bad things about to happen. Fine. Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? We're going to go to the second Rashi. Second Rashi says, who Achashverosh? As we've spoken in this by me many times in this place and other places, Rashi is very tight, succinct, cheap on the words.
Terse.
You have to figure out sometimes what he's trying to ask. And guess what? Too often we're missing most of what he's trying to say. So we're going to the second Rashi Megillas Esther. We'll come back to the first one. But tonight's class, just know right now, is on the second Rashi. And we're going to give one class on it, and depending on the timing and how much everyone annoys me if I'm allowed to add those words in, we might do two classes and three classes on this. Yeah. Here it goes. Hu Achashverosh. What does it mean, Hu Achashverosh? Rashi doesn't say what it means yet. Rashi, without citing Gemara here, he's quoting Gemara, says, Hu Berishoy Mitzchilosei Batzayfoy. He was evil from the beginning to the end, which is a quote from the Gemara. Now, again, even when you take a Rashi and you take a Gemara, you still have a problem. Beginning of what? End of what? That's for your first question. But I'm going to ask a better question. I'm asking an important question I saw brought down. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Before you get to the Hu Achashverosh, you could have said, Vayehi bimei is a negative terminology, but you could have said, Vayehi bimei Haman. Haman is the character in the story that's really the downfall. Alanisim, who do we talk about? What's Alanisim? What's the next words? Bimei who?
Mordechai.
So wait a second. If we want to talk negative, if you want to talk negative, Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, not that bad, maybe. Go to Haman. And if you want to say stam the story, Alanisim, go bimei Mordechai.
That's good. Alanisim is good.
So, could be. Good answer. Good answer. One answer is going to be that way. I'm at the question. So, the questions you see, my point that I want to tell everyone is like this. Every word is important. Every letter, every Rashi. Now, you're answering good. When it comes to the story of Esther, and we're starting negatively, we'll start with a negative person, Achashverosh, you have to answer why not Haman. And when we go positive, In B'mei Mordechai, possible to say that. Now, that would imply, which is not a bad idea, I'm pro, that would imply that when we're starting the story right now, we're on the Maschil Beganus, if we could borrow from a Pesach Tikkun Cheshbon. We are Maschil Beganus, close door. We're Maschil Beganus. Even though we don't have it by Purim, that would mean when you're starting the story on the negativity, we're taking it seriously to quote a negative personality. Now, so that's the question we have. I want to say, hold on, I want to say, for the first representation, is going to be like this. The reason that Rashi is trying to tell us, Rashi's answering this question, doesn't say it. Rashi's saying, why do we start with a Haman? Don't start with a Haman. Why don't we start with a Mordechai? Because I want to tell you something about what's going on here. There's an Achashverosh here that from the beginning to the end is bad. Why does he have to tell us this? Because we know from the Gemara, and you know from the Midrash, when you start looking around, on the simple reading of the story, it is unclear if Achashverosh is bad. To the point where the Gemara has an argument. One Gemara says he was just a tippish. One Gemara says he might have been evil. But that means when you're reading the simple pshat in the story, and again, if you want to learn this historically speaking, it would make sense. If they're writing the story b'shas Achashverosh alive, they can't make him look bad. So they would hint to us, by the way, know the subliminal message that was going on, but publicly we're going to do a regular story. If that's, it is an approach. If you want to use that approach, it makes perfect sense. Rashi's telling us, listen, you want to know why we started with Achashverosh? And not with Haman, and not with Mordechai? First of all, I'm not done with Mordechai, as he said, maybe I want to get to some negativity. But I want to be meramis to you on the chance, on that line of thinking, Achashverosh is not too good. And I'm going to add on, B'mei Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? No, not only was he not good, from the beginning, whatever that means, soon we'll get to, who Berishai Mitchilos Sevatzaifa. So Rashi is telling us that, no one thing, Achashverosh not only might not be good, he might have never been good, and never will have been good, when you start the story. To know by he be made negativity, from beginning to end. Again, we don't know what the beginning and the end is yet. We'll discuss beginning and end what they are. But it's saying from the beginning to the end, no, Achashverosh is a negative situation, maybe even worse than Haman, according to some ways of learning it. And we're starting the story by saying it, again, a hint, every part, now, by the way, and of course, it's obvious what I'm saying right now, if you want to say that every word in this Megillah is to exasperate, to show us, but it's not, because that means not real, to show us how the nation is even greater, then guess what? To show us still a hate. By the way, the king was terrible also, makes it a greater miracle. If Haman was bad and Achashverosh was not so bad, he's a tippish. Okay, so you come up with the roots. It was bad. We beat Haman. But okay, Achashverosh, we had an Achashverosh. According to this, no. We didn't even have an Achashverosh. That's how great the miracle was. So we start out the story by telling us, why he be made, no, it's negativity. Achashverosh. Rashi says, you know what Achashverosh is? Who, from beginning to end, is bad. Don't get lost on who this guy is. Don't wonder why we didn't start with Haman, because we know Haman's bad. I don't got a subliminal tell us of who Haman is. I know who Haman is. I'm not starting with Mordechai, either because we're starting bad or because I know who Mordechai is. I got to start with the person I'm not clear who he is. And I can't announce it to the world because he's still the king. Right. So what I'm going to do is subliminally, I'm going to put it in there, and that's what Rashi's coming to answer according to the first explanation. Question first, if you had one.
Don't we have it in Chumash that Hashem says you're born bad from the beginning? What do you need this for? You're bad from the beginning? We just said last week, 2 weeks ago. Hashem Aleph. What?
I don't know what he means. Is that what you meant?
Rami
Nuru. Rami Nuru, what you meant? I don't know what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay, but there are tzaddikim in the world.
Who's that?
There are tzaddikim in the world. Not every person's
so
bad.
You destroyed the world because you're no good.
Fine, but that doesn't mean every person in the history of the world is evil.
Yeah, everyone has the
Yetzer
Hara.
Right. No, I'm saying, but it doesn't. But Achashverosh, we're saying he's really bad from beginning to end. That's not a typical situation. That's an untypical situation.
When you say beginning to end, it means from the beginning of the Megillah to the end of the Megillah? No. Even when he saved the Jews,
I asked before, what does beginning and end mean? One approach is certainly going to be an easy approach. Beginning and end means the beginning and end of the story. Then Israel has a very good question. Mm-hmm. End of the story, we know he gave taxes to the people and not the Yidden. Right. Sounds like a good thing.
Give him permission to go in.
So I saw two different interpretations that show it's bad. One interpretation was Achashverosh was bad the whole time. And Rabbi Israel says he gave the Jews anocha. He wanted to create, unbelievable, he wanted to create a society where people look at the Jews as the elites who run the banks, who run the money, and he still tried to make it look like, yeah, I'm public, I love the Jews. But he was signaling to everyone, you know who's controlling me? You know who's controlling me? Who do you get? Follow the money trail. follow the money trail. So you give the money trail to let the Jews get away with it, which means even though it looked like a good thing, he was bad. He was anti-Yidden. Even, they will say this, even after all the miracles that occurred, he still was doing bad things for the Jews. Getting at the Jews. Look like good. Jews have to know. We got to be careful. Someone's preaching our goodness. We got to know. We got to be careful sometimes. A second answer, by the way, for Brazil's question. Again, the question is, beginning to end, look at who's being good. The Maharal says this. The Maharal says that the Pasuk in the beginning is telling us, when you're going to read this Megillah, understand who Ahasuerus is. Evil from the beginning to the end. The end does look that way. Just like we learned by Paroi, this week's Parsha isn't relevant to Parsha Lech Lecha, that he had no free choice. That means whatever you see, Maharal, I can't say this. Whatever you see that Ahasuerus does good, we're telling you in the beginning, that wasn't his choice. That was Bali Bechira. God took away his free choice. Therefore, whatever he did at that moment in time, don't judge it for good. So we have two answers. Either, what?
It wasn't him.
Now, you could say every king has no free choice in certain levels, but that's not what they're saying. Maral is saying, to understand, he writes it in better in Hebrew, I should have stopped bringing this farm here, that when all the miracles that occurred, everything that he saw, he still remained evil, he still remained anti-Semitic, we could use such a phrase, he was still anti-Jews. But instead of looking at it as he was manipulative, first answer we gave, he was manipulative anti-Jews, and he pretended to give them money when it was fake, he was saying, no, it looked like a good thing, he had no choice. So the difference between the two answers I just gave on this one approach of being beside for the end of the Megillah is whether when he gave over the thing, the free taxes to the Jews, whether it was actually a good idea and he wanted to do it. If it was a good idea, he didn't want to do it. If it wasn't a good idea, they wanted to do it. So we're explaining why the Megillah is saying the words Mitzchila Sebat Seif, that he is considered the Ahasuerus sticker person. Now, that was going with the approach, as Riel said, that beginning, which is cute, by the way, and true, that Mitzchila Sebat Seif, it's just a word here, means beginning of the Megillah to the end of the Megillah. And I do want to say, similar, I saw, that the word Hu Ahasuerus means like the famous Torah of Chavetz Chaim. Famous story to Chavetz Chaim was that someone was going to Palestine in the Chavetz Chaim's lifetime. He was headed out there and he came to the Chavetz Chaim to get a bracha. And the Chavetz Chaim told him, you're going to Palestine, understand, on tape, understand that the Arabs, the Torah refers to them as Pera Adam. Not an Adam that's wild, but a wild Adam. That means the essence of the person. Atzmius was evil. So I saw, but they want to say this as well about Ahasuerus. When it says Ahasuerus, who Ahasuerus, the word who is stressing, he etzem dekathing, he was an evil person. Again, all going because when you're reading the story, it doesn't appear that way. He more appears oblivious, naive.
How do you know from the word who?
They're learning that the word who means he is in the not that you describe him as. You could be a person who's tall or a tall person. Your identity. What is your identity? So here it says his atzmi, just like by Per Adam, that the Arabs is called Per Adam, right? Famous story. Not that he is, the Chavetz Chaim, I think, told the guy, if I remember the story, he told the guy, if you see him dressed up like a doctor and like a businessman, know who he is. They have a story with the Ramban. Similar story with the Ramban. That the Ramban was fighting a priest about the human nature, what they could do, and the Ramban, and discussing it, and the person said, I'm going to take a cat and teach him to become great. That's not good. That sounds like a good challenge. And the guy's working at the best people on it. At the end, it comes down. The cat is like almost like a human being. And he says, we're going to have the cat serve the king, and I'm going to show you the Ramban, you're nothing. And the cat's wearing a tuxedo like they do nowadays again, right? The cat's, and then what happens? The Ramban takes out a mouse. Puts it right. Because in the end, you could dress it all up. But what you are is what you are. And a lot of it goes in you. Now, so here they want to say that his actual nature, his actual inherent nature was bad, and understand from beginning to end, we gave one approach. Now, others say, we have in this week's parsha, that it says, Avram was traveling south. It keeps on saying he was traveling. In this week's parsha, I always try to tie it into the parsha, I get lucky enough. And what it meant was that he was always working, always moving. Human beings, we don't believe in standing still. We're always moving up and down. We're on the escalator, the treadmill. If you stand still, you're going backward. Always, humans are a hoilach. Achashverosh wants to say, I was going to say he was a hoilach and bad. I saw the opposite. He stayed evil always. Always evil. Never moved forward. Always remained evil. It's an interesting thing that I saw. I was surprised. I wouldn't say this. But I saw the famous Rabbi Yitzchak Leib Baditchev. A few stories there once in a while. That he was walking in Baditchev, making the door is squeaking. So either way, you don't have to, don't squeak the door. So the Baditchev was on Shabbos, and he saw a guy smoking on Shabbos. The Baditchev was the famous defender of all Jews. So he came over to this guy, and he says, are you aware today's Shabbos? Yeah. Are you aware that smoking is not allowed on Shabbos? Yeah. You went to yeshiva? Yeah. You understand that you're doing it in public? People could see this? Yeah. And he's going on, and the guy, what we call no remorse. No remorse. So Rabbi Yitzchak turns around to Baditchev. He tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at the godless of this person. A yid can't lie. So there's always the way of switching these things. So they want to say here, which we'll go on a different approach, we're not going to go tonight, that his consistency might have been a mile of him also. But we're going on the negative approach tonight. The negative approach tonight is, like Rashi seems to say, all from the extra word who, that the essence of what he was is Achashverosh, Achashverosh. We asked before, why didn't it say, this is going to answer Brazil's question maybe, why didn't it say Haman, why didn't it say Mordechai? I have a different question. When we start going through the Agadah, the Megillah, you're going to find again, the point of this is to show every word hours and hours. And when you go through the Megillah, and it's real stuff, sometimes he's referred to as Achashverosh, and sometimes he's referred to as Melech Achashverosh. And you have to figure it every time. Because Mordechai and Esther are not writing this because it
sometimes
rhymes.
It's just Melech.
What?
Sometimes it's Melech Achashverosh.
Oh, a third option.
It's only Melech.
Right, so three options. Achashverosh, Melech, Melech Achashverosh. And in reality, not that we can find an answer every time necessarily, but every word has to be measured to the billionth degree. So here, it starts out with the words what? Doesn't say he was a Melech. B'mei Achashverosh Achashverosh. They want to say, when it's talking about B'tchilasai, is not going at the beginning of this story here. We said before it's going to the beginning of the story of Megillah, to the end of the story of Megillah. No. In the Megillah, he might have been a Melech already. We're going, who Achashverosh prior to him usurping the throne? Prior to that. Prior. What did he do that was bad? Can we prove it? So the Marsha on that Gemara says, beginning and end, what is it? Beginning means before the story. Not before he was king, before the story. Beginning was, as we know from the, we'll get into probably a little more the next few weeks, the beginning was that Achashverosh, when he was in charge, through Haman's kids, the Beis HaMikdash was being built, and he stopped it. He put a stop work order. Is that what they called? He put a stop work order, and he stopped the Beis HaMikdash from being built. The Mashal says, Mitchilasai means when he stopped the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if I have to ask you right now, what's B'Soifai? Mashal says B'Soifai means he agreed to Haman's plot. So it doesn't mean the end of the Megillah. The way the Mashal is learning, seven word Mashal, B'Tchilasai when he stopped being Beis HaMikdash, before the Megillah, B'Soifai, the plot of Haman, beginning of the Megillah. If I was writing the Mashal's commentary, I would say, if you want to have it rhyme, which other people say, B'tchilasai means the stopping of the Beis HaMikdash. B'soifai meant end of the Megillah, after he sees the Nisim, after he makes Mordechai Chashev, after he realizes who Esther was. Guess what? You know what he didn't do? He gave the Jews free taxes, but he didn't do him build the Beis HaMikdash. It's very strong. We have to get to that later on. Why didn't Achashverosh, after the whole Maaseh, build the Beis HaMikdash in the end? His son did it, but he didn't do it. So B'tchilasai B'atsoifai is according to what we're saying now. Mashal saying, Beis HaMikdash Haman. But if you want to spread it out to the end of the Megillah, B'Soifai means the end of the Megillah, then we can be more consistent. The beginning means the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash not being built, and the end means the Beis HaMikdash not being built. So Mitzchilasa B'Soifai, he was a Russian to get to the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, there's a consistency factor, because during the story, before he's aware who Esther is, when she has a meeting with him, he says, I'll give you until half the Malchus. The Gemara says it means not to build the Beis HaMikdash. That means there was a thorn in Achashverosh's side that was bugging him relevant to the Beis HaMikdash. He stopped the building in the middle. Okay, there's no reason. But you see the meeting was like Esther says, let's have a meeting. Oh, no Beis HaMikdash. Like that's, is that the, you know, they have what, the Roshar test. Is that what they call the Roshar test? Right? We're all old enough for that, right? They give you the picture, go figure what it says. Can I have a meeting with you? No Beis HaMikdash. What? How'd you get to that? Because that was possessing him. Obsessing. He was obsessing with Beis HaMikdash. B'tchilas about Tzayf meant, Beis HaMikdash out, Beis HaMikdash remains out, his son Taka built it. Which we'll discuss at certain points also.
How did Beit HaMikdash factor into it? What does it have to do with it?
This story of Megillas Esther is recurring at the end of the 70 years, which we'll get to in the next couple of weeks, when we thought the Gaulus was never gonna end, and they were gonna build the second base of Mikdash. They do. Mordechai and Esther right after they build the second base of Mikdash. Not it. Esther's son, Tayovish, builds the base of Mikdash.
That's where they made the Suda, no?
That's, and the Suda which comes up is because he thought they'll never build a base of Mikdash. But you see he was obsessed about it.
He was a little child, he was really being manipulated by Mordechai and Esther, Tayovish, who gave permission.
He said manipulated?
I don't say
no way.
Manipulated.
You said manipulated.
I don't know if he used the word manipulated. He said that he was a child and was really Mordechai and Esther calling the shots.
Oh, okay, something else. Okay. That sounds more positive. Right, but you see Achashverosh didn't do it either way at the thing. I saw, amazing. I saw, first there's a Musa for current events, two different answers. It's called about Seiferment. Pre, because it doesn't say Behibi Meyam Melech Achashverosh. Means before he was a king, to when later on in the story here, where he is already the king. Because we have a concept, similar Gams, and this is written by Kadmoinim, that certain people are not that great, but when they get the challenge, they rise to the challenge. They might be Oisvoros beforehand, but when they become, pick a phrase, someone smirking, a president of the United States, they rise to the challenge. Or they mature, similar answer. I have a famous story that Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Reb Pam was much older than Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and there was a certain person, if I remember correctly, he was going for a certain shtel. And Reb Pam told him, not yet. He's a little young, develop a little better, become a little better. And this person was a Torah Das guy, and Mir. So he called Reb Nosson Tzvi. And Reb Nosson Tzvi told him, this is Yisoid. In Yiddish it sounds better. But basically you grow into the part. Take the job, you go into it. And he gave him a couple of rides. And the Bacha went back, well, he's probably married, went back to Rav Pam, and he said Rav Pam was a stein by it. And he didn't think about it, right? There's a gang to sometimes taking a job, hint, hint, when you're not Roy Lakach, smirking, when you're not Roy Lakach, hiring someone who's not Roy Lakach, but the person feels he has to take the job to rise to the occasion. So the idea was here, he did not. Achashverosh was Mitzchilase no good. We're saying rishis, but it could be immature, not rise to the occasion. And then when he got into power, he also didn't rise to the occasion. He remained the same. He never matured. That was the one that I wanted to tell you. I wanted an amazing question I saw. We have a yesod in Judaism that if someone becomes married, gets a chash of a job, he becomes a nasi, his averis are forgiven. Yinasala. When you move up, Yinasala, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, your sins are forgiven. What about Achashverosh? If he started out bad, who cares? As soon as he got the job as a king, he should have got freed. He should have had a few moments there. Under the chuppah, that's why we get brought. That's one of the reasons we ask Achasan Kalal for brachas. Why is Achasan Kalal for brachas? One of the reasons is because we assume at that moment they're like Matzi Yom Kippur. They have total power. They're free people. So what about Achashverosh here? And, just in case you're wondering, do Goyim have the same thing? The Prashas Drachim, Shlomelch says the Goyim do also. So it says an amazing thing. The next word say by Hibim Achashverosh, HaMoylech. HaMoylech doesn't mean he was voted in. We're going to learn maybe next week. HaMoylech means he usurped, grabbed power illegally. Illegal balloting. So the only time you get sins forgiven is when you're voted in, when you have a real nesis. Not when you grab it. So the connection's great. Rashi telling you, we don't know what the question is. By the way, he was bad from beginning to end. Now Rashi's going to answer. By the way, you know what? He's bad from beginning to end. He became a new job. He should get, HaMoylech. He grabbed it. So the connection between the first part of the pasuk, which every word connects to the next word, and the second part of the pasuk, again, we already did by Hibi Mei, negative to Achashverosh. That fit. Achashverosh, who Achashverosh was saying now is a theme. And Achashverosh HaMoylech also means don't think you should have been forgiven. By the way, it is a chiddush to say goyim get forgiven, but why not? I have a famous story. The Paras Yosef quoted. I think it was in Prozhenitz, one of these cities, that a certain rav, they came to a certain rav, Meshulam Igros, or something, I forgot who now, and they asked him, do you want this job as the rav of the city? He said, no.
Hello.
No. He didn't want the job. And then they were trying different people, and then they were about to give the job to canon number 10. He wondered. And as soon as he was about to do it, number 10, the first guy said, you know what, I'll take the job. Yes, yes, I hear you, I hear you. So they said, why are you taking the job now? Why you said noble last time? See, he had a whole chesed why this town, he wasn't sure if it was big enough to be Meichel Avoinus. So he said, I know the other Rav. He doesn't do things for money, doesn't do things for covet, doesn't want such a job. The only reason he must have wanted a job because he held this town forgiving sins. I want that also. So I said no when I thought I wouldn't get forgiven sins. When I heard he's taken, it wasn't a jealousy fact. He wanted, I wanted. No, as soon as he goes in, he wants forgiven sins. I want to grab forgiven sins. But again, why didn't it happen? Why did it not happen? By Achashverosh. Achashverosh usurped power.
This is the correct grammatical word, hamolech. How could you use different verb to...
Instead of what?
This is, if I were to say it in Hebrew, hamolech is the correct word.
It should have been hamoishel.
Oh, you say use a different...
Right. Now, when you go through the story of Achashverosh, it is clear that he was not voted in. Once he was in, but he not voted. He was a rebel. He was a stable boy that rose to power.
What does that mean? He wasn't voted in, he just went in?
Yeah. How do many kings become to power? Right. How did Saddam Hussein come to power? Right. How did the guy in Cuba? You kill the guy before you.
Right.
So that's not called voted in. So in those cases, when you kill the guy before you, or you miscount the ballot boxes, when you do that type of stuff, then you might not necessarily have the mile of having everything forgiven. Now, not only do I want to show you that every word is serious, there's a concept in Judaism of trop. Even the trop gets learned. So for example, amazing by the way, the trop on the pasuk, not only does it tell you where to break, where to not break, but the words mean something. So what do we have in Ruach HaShverish? Munach Revi. I can't sing. But Munach Revi, that's the name of the trop. Someone will point out that the word munach means to rest, and revi is a gemara in Megillah we're not going to right now, that the word revitza is a hint. Revi is a hint to the word Beis HaMikdash. So they want to tell you in the words, how do you know he's evil? Mitzchilos ha-batzoifoi hu achashverosh, extra words. Why are you saying hu achashverosh, extra words? I'll tell you why. Look at the trap. Munach revi, because he prevented the continuation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash.
You mean the dot over the
No, that's not a dot. That's a diamond. It's too small. That's a, I don't know how to think. But that's the diamond.
Okay.
Which one is it?
The diamond is like this. That's a revi, right? The munach is the, what do you call that thing?
The munach is what? The rest.
The what?
The revi? The revi is that.
It's a
diamond.
Wait, so the munach was what? The rest?
Munach is to rest. Revi is to the Beis HaMikdash, which means he stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Right. The famous one on the trap, by the way, it's a review for the word revitza. It's a play on words, and it means a basement. Yeah. Now, what's amazing is this thing with trop meaning something. I saw Gavalda Gavart recently, so I want to say what's amazing. By the way, amazing is that when it says, I forgot which pasuk it is, that it says that the Jews had avoided parech. It says there also the trop is a kadma v'azla. Kadra, that's the word, Kadra. Those are the, I don't really call these things. The Kadra Azla is like the two half circles, right? Kadra Azla. So the Vilna Gaon fantasy says that when it says that they worked hard, the reason why the Jews got out of Egypt early, they were supposed to be there 400 years, they only were there 210 years. Why? Because it says hard work, Kadma, they stood up for Azla and they left. Why did they get up and leave early? Why did they get up and leave early? They got up and left early because hard work, they were able to get out early. That's what the Vilna Gaon fantasy said, because he also dashed in the trunk. Amazing, I saw in a high-tech guy, the unbelievable, Brazil, the numeric value of the Kadma Va'azla, if you want to do it right now, Kadma Va'azla, you want to add up, is 190. Which means not only did they leave early because they were working hard, all the words they were working hard, how long did they leave early? 190 years. So the point is that the truck is very serious. So you have, that's by Mitzrayim, the Kadma Va'azla is teaching you that they left early because of the hard work, and not only tells you what happened, it's telling you how long it occurred for. 190 years, Kadraz also. Same thing in the beginning of Ayigash, is a famous Vilna Gaon. I had a plan once writing a sefer on this. So I have a lot of these things put together, of all the times that the trop sounds them. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. And here it says what? Also the same idea, it's a Revi. Because Yehuda was what number child? 4. And Revi is the fourth child. Kadma Ba'azla, well that's the perfect. I'm putting the two things together. Kadraz means Kadma got up, and went, Revi, the fourth child. So you have Kadma Va'azla Revi over here, and I give you two other pshatim, Kadma Va'azla on Megillus, on Mitzrayim, And a Revi, Ba'achashver, said he let the thing rest. The point again is, you have to realize that while we're looking at all this stuff in the Megillah, every word, every letter, every trop of every letter has multiple billions of interpretations. All to get back to the idea of La'oysa Gedelus Levadoi. That not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can do this, he's the only one who knows what's occurring. We are unaware of everything. We are literally blind. We think we understand politics, we understand life, nothing. La'oysa Gedelus Levadoi meant that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything that's going on.
I don't understand how Revi is. What does Revi mean?
Revi means that it's a symbol to the Beis HaMikdash, and Munach means it stopped. That means he stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Revi is a play on words to the Beis HaMikdash because it means somewhere, it means Beis HaMikdash.
Revi means HaMikdash.
So now, we had different things here. Now I want to say one thing, which is, and then we'll stop for tonight. The when we're discussing Achashverosh being good or bad, all of these discussions, as Rabbi Zeal said, taxes, building Beis HaMikdash, all these things are relevant to the Jews. Yes, we have one interpretation, who means he's really bad. But these interpretations are how he's bad to the Jews. And it goes down to what we said a few times already over here in Bethel, because the Jews run the world. Not the way they think so. Not running the banks, but we run the world. Which means what? How do you judge someone? It's based on how it's going with the Jews. Everything else is irrelevant. You want to know if a guy's evil? How does he treat the Jews? Because we're the centerpiece of the entire world. Now, as much as that creates a confidence, it also creates a responsibility for us to realize that we are the center of the world, and we have to act that way. And we could end the Golus immediately.